Hello and welcome. You are listening to the 1% Christian. I am Pastor J.D. Ambrosio. This is the Bible study that we do every day. We take about 1% of our day. We dive into God's Word, get some prayer in, we reflect on His principles and attributes, and then we head off to the remaining 99% of our day to do something amazing. So I'm excited to continue with you. We're going through ending John chapter 4 today. We just had come out of learning about the woman at the well. We spent a few days there, a lot of great nuggets to pull out of that Bible story, and we will actually start there just for a moment here. But we've got a mobile app that has a digital Bible on there. You can read along with us there, but there's a lot of other great resources on there as well. Good articles, and you can chat with our community. So I definitely recommend that. Also, if you're listening on a platform where you get your podcasts, whether it's Spotify, whether it's Amazon Music or the like, if you can give a subscribe, if you can like, if you can share that stream, we're seeing more and more downloads on a daily basis. So our Bible study, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, our Bible study is really growing here. So thank you so much for contributing to that. Okay, so John 4, but I want to go back for a moment and just hit on something at the end of our conversation about the woman at the well. She goes back into her community. She tells everybody about Jesus and how he, basically the way she worded it, he told me everything I ever did. Well, Jesus called out her sin, but he did so in a gentle way. He did so in a loving way. And she was so impressed, she went back and told the entire community. Community comes out, they meet Jesus himself, they invite him there for 2 days, that's where Jesus stays, and basically many, many people in that community believed. And the interesting thing is they said to the woman at the end, I want to hit on this before we move on, we no longer believe because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man is really the savior of the world. So they say to him, her, we don't just believe because you're telling us now. We've experienced it for ourselves. And that's what we truly want as right ministers of reconciliation going out, spreading the gospel, is we want to take our experience with God, share that with others, and ultimately allow them the opportunity to experience it themselves. Her willingness to go back to the community was a bridge for God to save that community. I hope you follow what I'm saying here. They said, no longer do we believe because of what you said, but because of what we see for ourselves. And ultimately, that's where we have to see it for ourselves. And when I say see it for ourselves, we draw close to God, and then the things in our life change. God changes our life. That's the way it works. That's why I'm always a proponent of having that all or welcome atmosphere, because you can't get into the presence of God and your life not be changed. Amen. So let's continue now. We are beyond the woman at the well. And it says in verse 43, after the 2 days he left for Galilee. Now, Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. We'll get to that in a second. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. So what happened at the Passover festival? Jesus starts flipping over tables, but also says that he did many signs and wonders while he was there. So it's fresh in their mind that this man, who we know is not just a man, is different. Even Nicodemus said, we know that you come from God because of the things that you do. What happens in Galilee is, he says this, and it's a little more defined in some of the other gospels, that a prophet has no honor in his own country. What does that mean? is that when he would go back to the places where he grew up, people would look at him and say, wait, no, you're Joseph's son, right? You're a carpenter's son. How could you be anything more than that? And a lot of times we grow up with the people around us. You know, they saw the time that you drank too much and threw up at the wedding, right? They've seen you at your worst. So when you make the change and start pursuing God, you're going to get some folks that say, wait a minute, you're the person that did this. You've got to continue regardless. Because ultimately, and I know this from my own life, because people saw me at my worst, people saw me in some bad places, that if you continue down the path, ultimately, like the people out there, they're going to come out to the well and see for themselves. Or they're going to hit a point in their life and they're going to see how your life changed and they're going to lean in. So you just keep pursuing God. Amen. So they see what happened at the Passover festival. And let's go verse 46. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. They remember that as well. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Now, most likely, this person was a high-ranking official in the kingdom of Herod. Who was Herod? Herod was the king, and I use the air quotes, of Israel. It was interesting how Rome would take over an area, and they had a really interesting policy. You can govern yourself as long as you don't step out of line. We'll take the taxes, we'll do all these things, but you can have your pretend king, and that's what Herod was. And it was also a way to say, hey, govern and police your people. We don't feel like doing this. If we have to come in, there's going to be death and destruction, so you create order. So this is an officer in Herod's cabinet, kingdom, however you want to put it. So this official comes out and says, hey, my son is close to death. Jesus, will you help? I've seen all the things that you're doing. Can you help me? Verse 48, Jesus says, unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official says, please, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus said, go, your son will live. Now, why did Jesus say, unless you people see signs and wonders? Because that's what they were looking for. It's what the Pharisees were looking for. It's what the people of his own hometown started to know him for. And the interesting thing is that, like I said, people closest to us are going to want to see, let me see it and I believe it. And then when they see it, sometimes they don't believe it, which was the case with Jesus. But this is an interesting contrast, we can't miss this, to the Samaritans, who took Jesus just straight at his word. Jesus didn't have to perform for them with miracles. And that is, I would say, a greater level of faith to some degree, because you're not having to see it before you believe it. Remember, the world says, I'll see it and I believe it. The faithful say, I'll believe it, then I know I'll see it. So let's continue. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. And when he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1 p.m, the fever left him. So this official rushes to Jesus, no doubt. No doubt that he rushes to Jesus. If your child was in that situation, would you not run? And I want to give you some context on the actual distance. Jesus was in Cana. This man was in Capernaum. That's about a 20-mile difference. Now, I've gone 20 miles in a day before. It takes some time. In the hot sun, I mean, this guy is probably cooking. He's running, cooking, and then he's probably in the sun. But who would not go how many miles? He would go, you and I would go hundreds of miles for our children. And that's an interesting point as well. Think about the love of a parent for a second. How much do you love your children? Beyond words, right? So do we think that we are more loving than God? Scripture says that while we are evil to some degree, right? We're not perfect. That God, how much more love comes from the Father in heaven who is perfect, right? So a lot of times we extend whatever it takes to our own children, but we somehow think that God is limited in his love toward us. Chew on that today when you realize how much God loves you, because you and I are not better than God. So I also want to point this out, right? He runs to Jesus. He petitions Jesus, and Jesus says, your son is going to be fine. Go. And notice he doesn't hang around Jesus and say, are you sure? Because I don't know. You know, what if this? What if that? What if this, Jesus? I know you said it, but what about this? No, it says that he took Jesus at his word, and then he departed. And there's something to be said for that. To take God at his word and then continue on. And the cool thing is, it says, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. And on his way, the servants came out and said, your boy was living. And he inquired to the time. Yesterday at 1 PM, the fever left him. Then the father realized that this was the exact time that Jesus said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming to Judea from Galilee. He took Jesus at his word and left. And he, check this out. This stuff excites me, I'm sorry. When he asks the servants when it happened, said yesterday at 1 PM. So we know that there was some time between the time he left Jesus, he wasn't even home yet, and the servants met up with him, which means he took his time on the way back. So if he took his time on the way back, he believed Jesus enough to you run to Jesus, and then he walked confidently back. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. With the issues and the challenges and the worries in your life, run to Jesus, get the assurance from him, and then walk confidently back in the world, knowing that what God says and his promises for your life, and that's what I want to accomplish by this study, by the end of at least the Gospel of John, I want you to understand God's promises more so that you can go to his word. And then you can go out into back into the world more confident. You run to God and then walk confidently back into the world. Why? I'll show you. Then the father realized, verse 53, that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. When God says something, it is done. When God said, let there be light, there was light. And we need to understand that just because we don't see it, that man, that nobleman did not see the manifestation of the miracle, but he walked away in confidence back with full expectation. And that's the attribute of God for today, that his word is true. His word is his bond, that what he says, he does. And that with that, we can walk confidently into our day today, understanding that when he says that by his stripes you're healed, you say, I am healed, and you walk back into the world. When he says he'll never leave you nor forsake you, you walk back and you confidently say, you know what? God never left me. He'll never leave me in the battle. I can go down the line, but we're on our 1% right now. But what I'm hoping you meditate on today is that when God says something, it is done. It is finished. And that he loves you beyond measure. So you can go into the world with his promises. And when this nobleman went back and ultimately saw that his son was healed at the second that Jesus said it, his whole family believed. And that's kind of like the woman at the well, right? She was willing to go back in faith without shame, confident, and everybody around was blessed by it. Go into the world today, right? So many of us want our family to know God. Be confident in God and keep walking in his promises, and you'll see the folks around you start to draw in and experience it for themselves. But it's you first, and we can move confidently because we know God is a God of his word. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this study today. We thank you that you keep your promises. Help us to keep our promises. Help us when we say yes, that we follow through and make it a yes. When we say no, that we follow through and make it a no. That we become men and women of our word, Lord God, because we want to emulate you. So, Father, as we go into this day, we pray that the confidence of knowing that what you say is your word and your word is bond, that we can believe you, and not only believe you, to continue with that promise. And we pray for everybody around us, Lord God, that they would see the faith in us and that it would change their life, Lord God, because we are your ministers of reconciliation, knowing that you reconciled unto us, that we are good with you, and that the whole world can experience your love. Amen. In Jesus' name. My name is Pastor J.D. Ambrosio. You're listening to the 1% Christian. We are going to continue through John chapter 5 tomorrow. We're moving along here. Check us out at soh.church, and we will see you tomorrow. I love you guys.